Hey guys, I know I haven't uploaded in a while, but school ended for me a few weeks ago and I did a bunch of exams and final projects and stuff. But anyways, I will be trying to upload every week this summer. So until September-ish, the start of September. Anyways, moving on to today's topic, we are going to be talking about something that is done every day and something that many seem to have misconceptions about. Recycling! Woo! Honestly, my last memory of someone talking about recycling was probably in elementary school, where we sat down crisscross applesauce style in the gym and a random magician dude made stuff levitate and then told us to reduce, reuse, and recycle. I don't remember much about that assembly, but after that, all I do remember about recycling in my school was when in my classrooms, you'd have 8-year-olds debating on whether or not they should be putting their snot-filled tissues into the good old blue recycling bin. So, before researching and writing this episode, my own views on recycling were misconstrued as well. In that A, everything in the recycling bin does get recycled, meaning that if I do throw out a snotty tissue, then it will eventually somehow get recycled, and B, that recycling is effective as new objects are made out of recycled materials, and so there is a continuous cycle. So, in this episode, we are going to be focusing more on the background, the global economics, and the overall corporate slash capitalistic view on recycling, especially in a global sense. So, first off, let's start off with some background. So, the curbside recycling system in America that we know and love was introduced in order to make it more accessible to households, and the first program was introduced in Missouri, 1973. By 2006, there were around 8,600 recycling programs in the country, and when it first started, people were initially asked to separate paper, plastic, and glass into different bins. In 1989, Arizona began exploring single-stream recycling, and by 1993, CRC Inc.'s MRF, or Material Recovery Facilities, became the first large-scale single-stream recycling facility. This allowed for people to put all of their recyclables into one bin, meaning that it's way easier for the average person to participate in. Yet, it has its downsides, because it is ultimately more expensive than sorting things out before they go to the dump. So, there are a few reasons to this, according to The Atlantic. A, MRFs can't separate recyclables quite as well as a system that, you know, never mixes them together to begin with. And B, glass can get broken in this process, which can contaminate other recyclables. Which is why one of the main criticisms of this type of recycling is that it's led to a decrease in quality of the materials recovered. This matters for the people who buy bales of recycled material to turn into new products. Even more so, according to The Atlantic, the rates of residuals, or the would-be recyclables that end up in landfills, are also higher for single-stream recycling systems than for systems that require more sorting earlier on in the process. These residuals eat away at the gains in the initial recycling rates. When single-stream recycling first got started, this type of thing wasn't really an issue because it was common for recycling plants in the US to send these bales of recyclables to Asia because the lower quality material could be cleaned up for a cheaper amount. But more recently, recycling plants have had trouble doing this. So let's talk about this trouble, starting off with where these recyclables go and what happens to them. Beginning in 1992, according to the Sierra Club, U.S. cities and trash companies started offshoring their most contaminated, least valuable recyclables to China. The United States sold China these recyclables to get rid of them because China was so-called desperate for raw materials. There, the dirty bales of mixed paper and plastic were processed under the laxest of environmental controls. Much of it was simply dumped, washing down rivers to feed the crisis of ocean plastic pollution. It's a pretty interesting article. There's a pretty interesting article if you do want to dip your feet into the global economic world of recycling called Recycling Isn't About the Planet, It's About Profit on Slate. So you can search that up. But moving on to sending the bales of recyclables to Asia. Since China was willing to buy these materials for so long, it ultimately disincentivized the United States to invest in facilities and technology and labor that could recycle the materials domestically. In 2018, China passed their National Sport Act, which drastically changed America's ability to offshore trash. So what the National Sport Act was, it was part of a domestic anti-pollution campaign. So according to the New York Times article, your recycling gets recycled, right? Maybe or maybe not. China banned the imports of various types of plastic and paper, tightening the standards for the materials they didn't accept. Due to this, according to the, Sierra Club and the New York Times article, massive amounts of poor quality recyclables began piling up at US ports and warehouses. Cities and towns started hiking trash collection fees or curtailing recycling programs, and headlines asserted the quote-unquote death of recycling and a recycling crisis. Even more so, Americans themselves may be a part of the reason for recycling's so-called downfall, because according to the Sierra Club, well-meaning or aspirational recyclers routinely confuse theoretical recyclability with actual recycling. While plastic straws, grocery bags, eating utensils, yogurt containers, and takeout food clamshells are all theoretically recyclable, they are almost never recycled. So this goes back to my snotty tissue example in the beginning, right? So what these plastic straws and grocery bags and stuff do is that they jam machinery and they lower the value of the profitably recyclable materials they're mixed with, like aluminum cans and clean paper. In addition, Americans especially are notorious for putting pretty much anything into recycling bins, from dirty diapers to lawn furniture, partly out of ignorance and partly because China has given us decades-long pass on making these distinctions. A couple months after China enforced their stricter guidelines, other countries like India, Indonesia, and Vietnam began importing recycling materials from the United States, but these countries have slowly shifted in the same direction as China, leaving the US with less and less options of where to ship their waste. As of now, we still have no clue, and only time will tell when the United States will be made responsible for its trash. This crisis continues today. According to The Atlantic, it is becoming much more expensive to recycle domestically, so companies are throwing out their recyclables in the trash because they can no longer afford it. They see no better option since hiring labor to sort through the recycling is much more costly than making plastic and paper from raw materials. At this point in time, extracting raw materials is still cheaper than recycling materials to be reused, and a company's decision-making will not change unless the cost of recycling does as well. So that's all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed. This was a super interesting topic to research, so maybe I'll do a follow-up on this episode to discuss how and what we should recycle, what actually happens to the stuff we recycle, and the benefits of recycling. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And be sure to follow this podcast on Instagram at icebreaker.podcast and check out icebreakerpodcast.card.co. Bye!